Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we are nearing the end of a period of pause in the last days of the festival half of our state year. The ascension of our Lord was just 8 days ago, and Pentecost will be the rest of the month. Our being here suggests that we are like the disciples in that first period of pause. They were not idle. They were continually in the temple, blessing God. We are gathered in our appointed place of worship to hear God's word, to pray, and give thanks. And well might we pray and pray and give thanks. Well might we bless God for such words as we have heard in the brief excerpt from the lessons appointed for today in the Gospel of Matthew and the Epistle to the Ephesians. Those two combine to reflect our realization that in Christ we have forgiveness of sins, which is our possession by His gift of faith, together with which He has given us life, enabling us for following Him. Matthew knew that. Believed it. And acted upon it. We just heard his inside record of it, which said, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. Matthew, we must notice, exhibited modesty there. He wrote in the third person, not I, but a man called Matthew. Made his honesty as well, sitting at the tax office. Living as tax collector for that foreign overlord, unpatriotic as a Jew, extorting from the people from whom he collected taxes more than he was literally authorized to take. Really stealing, according to God's law. But worst of all, he was being disloyal to God, for he was collecting taxes in the service of an emperor and demanded to be received as God. But Matthew implicitly confessed his sin. In keeping with the understanding, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He, God, is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Matthew had heard Jesus before. By the Lord's word, faith had been planted in his heart. Matthew knew and believed that in Jesus the law of God was fulfilled for him, and his sin by Jesus was taken away. Matthew confessed his faith and acted on it. Jesus said, "Follow me." Matthew rose and followed him. No wonder that Matthew is pleased to be called by that name rather than by his given name of Levi. For Matthew out of the Hebrew, like Theodore out of the Greek, means gift of God. By grace you are saved. It is the gift of God, as Paul later put it so famous to the Ephesians. Thank God. It is for us, as it was for Matthew. Though we must look at ourselves in the mirror of God's law and see the sick of the sinners, this law to God, then we must confess our sins as people sitting in the shame and guilt of our own violations of God's holy will by our thoughts and words and deeds. Yet we have had an implantation of faith and an initial "follow me" call from the Lord in our baptism. Question two is calling to our recollection of our baptism, to our hearing of the word in Sunday school and Bible class and church services and family devotion, and hearing even to our eyes in our personal reading and study of God's word. And all that is emphasized all the more strongly by our privilege to receive the Lord's Supper. We have that constantly sustaining Solomon Paul coming again and again. And in the life and the power that Jesus gives us, we have risen and we do follow him. But it's not a self-righteous following. We've heard our Lord through Paul, as we did in the reading from Ephesians 3, be imitative of God as beloved children. Notice the careful choice of language as beloved children. Not as loving children who are self-determining, but as beloved. We love him because he first loved us. We imitate by walking in the kind of love with which we are loved. Christ loved us and gave himself for us. We love him and give ourselves up to him. As did Christ, we do the will of our Heavenly Father. The law of God is destroyed with the intention of guiding us in the holy living for which we are enabled by the gift of faith and love. How to imitate? How to imitate God? We love and trust in him above all things. Hear and love God so that we call upon his name in every trouble, praise, and give thanks. So that we hold his word sacred and gladly here and learn it. So that we give our talents and masters honor, serve and obey them, and hold them in love and esteem. So that we help and defend our neighbor in every bodily need, and so forth. For that kind of imitation, our Lord enables us as beloved children, who by the love of God in Christ, rise from our failures to imitate again and again. May our Lord follow me, always ring in our ears, to remind us that in him we are forgiven continuously, and that from him we have life and strength ever again to undertake being imitators of him until he perfects our imitators by taking us to the place he has gone to prepare for us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ's peace.